Hello, we're going to do the first of the podcasts at Java 1 2009. I have with me, I'm Jim Wright, I'm with the Java.net team, and I have with me Mario Fusco of Ex Machina, who's going to introduce LambdaJ, which is in fact a way of simplifying programming and providing some tools and techniques for better refactoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, the best way to understand what LambdaJ is and how it works is to understand why we felt the need to develop it. We were working on a project that has a very complex domain model, and we found that our source was full of more or less the same pieces of code that did basically the same, iterating over a collection of our business objects and do some stuff more or less complex. And we also find that the code in these loops were very poor readable, and people spend more time reading a loop and try to understand what it does instead of writing the loop itself. And I think it's a common problem in computer programming. To read code is often more difficult than to write it. And so I try to find a homemade solution. I started to developing some utility methods inside the projects, and I wrapped them with a very small, very simple DSL in order to invoke these methods. And almost soon I see people in my team felt comfortable using it, and they ask something like, how can I refactor this loop using your collection language, or could you please add this feature to your collection thing? And at that moment I realized I was doing something very general purpose, and I could refactorize it outside the original project. And so I did it, and I moved it in an independent library. I published it open source, and at the end I tried to find a name for it, since I think the Mario's collection thing was was not so good, and I chose these names to underline that the concept at the base of the of this library are borrowed from the functional programming, that it comes from lambda calculus theory. So this is an introduction of how and why LambdaJ is born. So just to resume, basically LambdaJ, it's an internal DSL that allows to you manipulate in I hope in a very readable way, in a very easy way, to manipulate complex domain model in order to do the usual thing programmers do while manipulating a collection, that are converting the whole collection of objects in different objects, indexing them by a value of a property, aggregating them in some way, filtering them, right. Yeah, sorting, grouping, and these are the features provided by LambdaJ. What LambdaJ basically is a library of trace safe and static methods, and it's based on two main concepts, two main ideas. The first one is to give the possibility to treat a collection of beans as it was a single bean. So you have the possibility to invoke statically a method on the collection, and Lambda J propagates for you the method invocation to each bean inside the collection, as in this first example. So I want to set the last name of a collection of persons bean, and since they have all the same name, instead of put this set in a for loop, I just use this Lambda J feature. The second idea on which Lambda J is based is to give the possibility to statically have a pointer to a Java method. In order to pass this pointer to the Lambda J API, and use the Lambda J feature in this way. And basically, this is all you have to know about Lambda J. That's it's really all. Lambda J is built to be as simple as possible and as easy to use as possible. And okay, so the next part of the presentation. Just want to underline the advantage you can find by using Lambda J. So I prepared a very easy demo data model, and I wrote some example code comparing the classic iterative collection style with what you could do by using Lambda J. So as you can see, you have a very simple data model, a collection of sales of cars. So sale is basically made by two persons, the buyer and the seller, and of course the details about the sold car. The first example is something very usual in every everyday programmer life. You have just to concatenate the value of the property of all the beans in the collection, and you have to do basically something like that. So concatenating all the in this case all the brand of the sold car, and put a separator between all the brands, and of course in the end you have to throw away the last separator since there is nothing more to separate. Okay, you can do exactly the same with Lambda J by passing the collection of cars to the join from method. The join from method returns an object that statically has the same API, has the same interface of one of the bin in the collection. So on the object returned by the join from method, you can basically call all the method you can you could invoke it on a normal car bin. In this case, by calling a get brand on that bin, the result is to just to have a concatenation of all the brand name separated by default with a comma. But of course, there is an overload of this method that allow you to define the separator you want. Another very common task while iterating of a collection is selecting some bin in the collection on a given condition, basically. So I think my version, the Lambda J version, what this piece of code does is far more easy to be read, since you see you select between all the sales the one that have as a car the brand of Ferrari. So basically you are selecting all the sales of a Ferrari between all the collection, between all the sales you have. Even in this case, I think the advantages of LambdaJ is very easy to understand, mainly in readability of code. This is a bit more complex example. I want to find the sales made by the youngest person in my demo database. So with an inner selection, I select the person having the lower age, and I put this person in a further selection, in an external one, and so I select all the sales made by this person. And once again, I think it's very evident the difference between what you should do to achieve the same result using the plain normal Java version. Another very common task could be called to do while programming is to find the maximum of the bin having the maximum value inside the sector bin you are manipulating. LambdaJ basically offer you two possibilities to achieve the same result again. Basically these two LambdaJ statement do exactly the same thing in two different ways, and you know, these two differences reflect the two main ideas on which LambdaJ is based, which I was speaking about at the beginning of my presentation. This example I want to show how you can write also quite complex condition. You can put the condition in end. So in this example, I want to select the sales where both the buyer and the seller are male. And then once again, I used this example also to show how the API of LambdaJ have been engineering to be used easily together one with one other in the same stateless, in the same statement. It should be easy to concatenate them. So I want in the end take all these sales and sum the cost of the sales.
Right.
Once again, as you can see, I'm going up with complexity. It's another select statement, and once again, the main purpose of this example is basically to show how you can combine the LambdaJ API to write a very complex query and to extract data in a very easy, very readable way from your collection of bins. Another very common task while working on collection is to sort their bins on the value of a property. What you normally have to do in Java is to define an anonymous inner class, a comparator, and to pass it to the sort method of the collection framework. You know, in my opinion, this is boring to be written and very hard to be read. You can, I guess you can't understand with at the first glance what this piece of code does. But I suppose you can do that by reading the LambdaJ version. Since you know, I'm passing the collection of sales to the sort feature of LambdaJ. Again, say which property those bins should be sorted. Other two very common tasks while manipulating collection is to extract some value from the collection in our bin. So you in this way you transform the collection of cards in the collection of double that contains their original value, this is more or less the same. Now we are indexing the car based on their brand name and putting them in a map. This is one last feature of LambdaJ. What you usually do is that maybe in this example two index is not enough, since there could be two car of the same brand and then you are losing the second one by indexing them on their brand value. So what you normally want to do is to group them in a more complex structure. What do this piece of code in iterative mode that's it's quite complex, as you can see, is to index all the sales by the person who bought the car and further by the person who sold the car. So you have two hierarchy of groups nested one in one other, and that's why the data structure where you put this grouping, this indexing is made in that way. LambdaJ, the final purpose of this piece of code is to find the sale between the youngest and the oldest man in the database. LambdaJ allows you to do exactly the same very quickly. You can use the group API of LambdaJ and you know, declaring instead of programming on which item on which property you want to make the grouping, and in this way you are doing exactly the same that did the code before, by grouping the sales before for buyer and after by seller, and then you do exactly the same. I extracted the youngest and the oldest person still using LambdaJ, and then I easily found the sale between these two person.
Right.
This is the last example. It's another group example. I wanted to see which is the car that has been exchanged more times, and so I basically indexing the car by counting the time they have been transacted. Still, you can do the same with LambdaJ by grouping the sales on the car and then finding the group that has the maximum size, and so you can achieve the same result easily, I think. Okay. So that's what basically LambdaJ does, and how it could make the everyday programming more effective, and more important, in my opinion, make the resulting source much more readable and much more maintainable. At the end, of course, LambdaJ makes a huge use of introspection, reflection, and for classes, for non-interface object, he uses, of course, CGlib. And, of course, LambdaJ comes with a trade-off, and I try to measure this trade-off, and since I, you know, I write the same piece of code that did basically the same in both modes, what I did is just to run both pieces of code that achieved the same result, and comparing the time took by each run. What basically happens is that what you have expect is that every time in LambdaJ is used the introspection by CGlib, you have a slowness in the performance of a factor 3, let's say. So, for example, I don't know, in the sort example that calls introspection two times for each comparison, you can find that LambdaJ is more or less six times slower than the iterative version. But to be honest, in my opinion, this is not a big problem. As I was saying, we are using this library in a very huge project made for an insurance company with a lot of users, a lot of customers. And, you know, I don't think this is the bottleneck of the application.
Yeah.
So it works to make your code more readable by using this library and lose a bit on performance. I'm sure it will not slow down significantly your application. Okay, and that's all. And
so where can we get this now? The libraries for the LambdaJ.
Sorry?
Where can you find the code in the library?
Okay, LambdaJ is hosted on hosted on Google Code, and it's linked as a java.net project, and you can find the source of LambdaJ at this URL.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Mario.
Thank you.
And again, first podcast of Java 1, and we're just delighted.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.